Chapter 5. Application of Doctrine. With 2,000 years of examples behind us, we have no excuse, when fighting, for not fighting well. T.E. Lawrence, quoted in the Liddell Hart Memoirs. The application of terms and taxonomies. The preceding chapters have discussed doctrine, its sources, how it changes, and a number of terms and taxonomies needed to understand and apply it. This chapter addresses topics related to understanding and applying doctrine. It is not enough to know terms and definitions. Soldiers must also understand their relationships, how they fit together, when applied to studying and, more importantly, to conducting operations. Part of this understanding comes from being able to compare and contrast terms and concepts to understand them and their use, as is done in Chapter 4's discussion of operations and warfighting functions. Doctrine is central to helping soldiers and leaders remain abreast of current thought and technology and be able to apply Army capabilities to accomplish any mission they are assigned. Everything related to the conduct of operations is part of an operational environment. This one category accounts for all operational variables, PMC-PT considerations, that influence operations and training for operations. These variables need to be captured and continuously updated by analysis in running estimates and understood by the commander and staff even before the assignment of a mission. Operational variables may reside in any of the domains. Once a mission is assigned, a commander's and staff's analysis is framed by the mission variables, MET-TC, which narrows down the operational variables to those that affect a specific mission. When a mission is assigned, Army commanders and staffs have to understand their mission within the context of the land domain. Land operations take place within a broader context that includes the political arena, joint operations, and other service operations. It is in the political arena and higher-level joint headquarters, the strategic level of war, that the overall political and military objectives are defined. Once the military objectives are defined, specific instructions are issued to joint task forces operating at the operational level of war, which in turn assign tasks to, among others, the land component. Understanding this context is necessary to ensure that land operations are part of a coherent and cohesive whole. All land operations take place within the context of a joint campaign. Understanding the joint structure and doctrine is required to fully understand the role of land forces in the overall campaign. Land operations begin with a mission assigned by a joint force commander to a land component, or from one echelon within the land component to another at the tactical level of war. The receipt of a mission starts the process of actually employing land forces. Once a mission is assigned, or a prospective mission is determined, the operations process begins that brings everything together in a headquarters. Planning starts with the receipt of a mission and updating the current understanding of an operational environment in which the mission will be accomplished. The higher headquarters operation order, or plan, creates a task organization that allocates resources to the command. This task organization delineates the combat power the unit has in order to perform the assigned task. Planning. Planning begins with an analysis and understanding of a specific operational environment filtered through the specific mission, which in turn determines which information elements of the operational variables are carried over and filtered by the mission variables for analysis. A thorough understanding of an operational environment and assigned mission enables the commander and staff to use the elements of operational art to envision a desired end state and the broad approach to achieve that end state. Through operational art and the principles of joint operations, commanders understand, visualize, and describe the integration and synchronization of the elements of combat power to achieve objectives, attain end state conditions in broad terms, determine an operational approach, and describe their commander's intent and guidance. Commanders selectively use these tools in any operation. However, the tool's broadest application applies to long-term operations. The operational approach is determined in part by the combat power available to the commander. It tells the commander what potential can be translated into effects or actions. It is a measure of the total capacity the commander has available. The critical issue here is always to know if the combat power available suffices to accomplish assigned missions. This is the conceptual stage of planning. The commander and staff then go into detailed planning to develop one or more courses of action. Each course of action will assign broad general tasks and priorities of support to each warfighting function. These broad general tasks represent the major activities that constitute the building blocks for a course of action. Warfighting functions are the broad capabilities that commanders account for in all operations. By developing how each function contributes to attaining the end state, developing a scheme of support for each warfighting function, a scheme of maneuver, scheme of fires, scheme of sustainment, and so on, the commander lays out a broad approach to move from the current state to the end state. The courses of action should synchronize the warfighting functions in order to generate combat power. Commanders usually allocate resources through one of the operational frameworks. The operational frameworks provide a tool that helps commanders frame where to apply combat power to achieve specific effects. Commanders and staffs use the main and supporting efforts to indicate the shifting of priorities of support by each warfighting function when the complexity of operations requires sequential application of combat power using phases, or when circumstances require a change in the concept of operations. During the development and evaluation of the courses of action, commanders and staffs use the principles of joint operations, principles of unified land operations, and the tenets of unified land operations as tools to assess whether or not courses of action account for important characteristics of operations that have proven effective, or are desired characteristics of current operations. Both principles and tenets should assist commanders and staffs in visualizing how to structure a course of action and concept of operations. Commanders and staffs use Army planning methodologies, Army design methodology, the military decision-making process, and troop leading procedures to analyze multiple courses of action to determine the most suitable one. Once the commander approves a course of action, the remainder of the military decision-making process determines the specific tasks assigned to subordinate units that will accomplish the mission in the area of operations and ultimately achieve the identified end state. These specific tactical tasks come from the set of tasks of decisive action. The tactical tasks of offense, defense, and stability or defense support of civil authorities, and enabling tasks, and the subordinate tasks thereof. The end result of this process should be an operation order. The operation order will establish the relationship among the mission, commander's intent, and concept of operations. The operation order guides commander's arrangement of warfighting functions to mask the effects of combat power at the chosen place and time to overwhelm an enemy or dominate the situation. The best operation orders are mission orders. Mission orders are directives that emphasize to subordinates the results to be attained, not how they are to achieve them, ADP 6.0. They facilitate mission command by providing subordinates with a clear commander's intent, latitude to determine how to accomplish missions, and flexibility to exercise disciplined initiative within the commander's intent. Mission command is essential in the land environment. It allows for more rapid decision-making at the lowest levels and best accounts for the fog, friction, and complexity of the land environment, maximizing combat power over time. Mission command is essential to execute the Army's operational concept of unified land operations. The force cannot seize, retain, and exploit the initiative effectively without the disciplined initiative of subordinates. ADP 1-01, 31 July 2019. By order of the Secretary of the Army, Mark A. Milley, General, United States Army, Chief of Staff. Official. Signed, Kathleen S. Miller, Administrative Assistant to the Secretary of the Army.